This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We are hungry for you, Father. We want to know more about you. We want to come closer to you. We want to experience your presence. We've been singing it, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. You were already here before we came over here, Father. You already had a plan before the foundation of the earth about us. And Father, this afternoon we come and we want to listen to what is on your heart, that we can have a heart-to-heart connection with you, that we can hear from the Creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, what is on your heart, what you want to share with us this afternoon. And Father, the thoughts that we've got from what happened this morning or on our way over here or what happened earlier during the week or the month, we cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus, Father, that we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father, that we can forget about it, that we can focus on you, that we can learn more from you, because you are present over here, in Jesus' name. Amen. And today it's about me, but please have a look. The me is spelled with a capital, so it's not about me, it's about God. Yeah, this week, it was a lot about what I felt in the Netherlands about me. We had local elections this week, and I watched a TV program where the people were talking to each other, but there was no respect for each other, simply no respect. It was just about them. It was just about the political party. You didn't even hear once the word God or the Creator or anything like that. It's all earthly. And yeah, and it was for me a confirmation again, is that we are on this world and it's all about us. This is what the people are learning us. Because God created heaven and earth and that we should be happy with it and that we should give a recognition to God for that. They say the Dutch, they say that God created in heaven and earth, but the Dutch created the Netherlands because they put the dikes up there, they pumped the water out. And that piece of ground has been created by themselves. And I'm saying it with respect. But it is somewhere that I think we've got to give acknowledgement to God. Because God has given that knowledge to those people. And it's the same with the politicians. And it's the same with the people who are building the dikes. And it's the same with us over here, sitting over here. We've got certain capacities and certain things what we can do. We've got to give acknowledgement to God, where it is coming from. Because he is great and he is awesome. The world is not much different if we're talking about that it is all about ourselves. If we go to America, then you get those books, 6 steps to be a perfect husband, 7 steps to be a perfect wife, 8 steps to be a perfect mother-in-law, 9 steps to be a perfect mother, 12 steps to be successful, 10 steps to be, all those type of books. But it's all about what you've got to do to become successful, to be the perfect mum, mother-in-law, and whatever it is. But it's all about, it's me, me, me. But with God, it's different. It's totally the opposite side. With God, it is about me, but with a capital. And in the world, a lot of times, we are on that chair. Maybe sometimes floating in the middle. But not a lot of times that we are actually over there, that we're really giving acknowledgement to God, that we say, but everything is from you. And if we really trust in God, what God is giving us, and if we give all the honor and praise to God, then we can sit on this chair, then we know that we are close to him. What we've been singing as well, we are in his presence. We experience his presence. And God wants to be with us. We can read it from Genesis. From Genesis he created Adam over there, took him out of the dust and made a man and blew his breath into his nostrils. This is how he created. This is how he started us. And then in Revelations, because it goes through from Genesis to Revelations, in Revelations again, God is revealing of where he wants to take us, where he wants to bring us, where he wants to spend time with us forever and ever. He's showing just that little bit of heaven he's showing us to us. So God is showing in the Bible that he continuously cares about us. He wants to be with us. He wants to give us the best. And I just want to take a verse out of Exodus where the people were coming then to God and they were groaning, they were moaning. And they asked God for help. And then God, it's not a matter of that he says, sorry guys, but I'm not helping you. But he comes and he helps them. Exodus 2 says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and they came, and their cry came to God because of the bondage. So God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. So God was open that they could come and that they could cry. And they've been crying for a long time, because if we take a look at that, when this was written, it is most probably anything around that Moses was at that time, anything between 40 and 80. So it could be roughly, let's say, 60 years. So it was already for 60 years that God was already raising up Moses, because he knew that they were going to come and that they were going to complain. He already had a plan to help his children. And then if we take a look as well, that plan, what God had, and he takes approximately, they think it's approximately 2.4 million people took out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, if any one of you over here is an event manager, and if you've got to give food for each and every day for 2.4 million people, I haven't seen that event manager yet. And I don't think he exists, because it can only God who can do something like that. Give them food by day and night. Be a cloud above them that the sun is not burning them. At night, be a light that they can see where they are going. So much is God caring about his people. And if they come to him and if they cry out, then God is helping them. The people didn't come with a plan, with their own plan, and said, okay, Lord, we want to go to the promised land. It's a shortcut. It's 6 days walking. We want to have 3 or 4 stayovers, and then we are there, and then we are finished. No, God has got a plan which is totally different. It's happening in our lives as well, that sometimes we also come with our problems to God. And we've beforehand already got a plan how God is going to do it. But the way he's doing it is then sometimes so totally different, but so unique that you say, that's so awesome. We had it as well. We also didn't know how it actually had to work with the business when I left over there in South Africa. And when the Lord started speaking and telling us how we've got to do it, we never thought about it. I never thought about it. That's a unique way. And that is what God is. He's waiting for us. He loves us as children, and he wants to spend time with us. If we take a look at the Old Testament, where this part of Egypt and so on, and the Israelites is talking about, in the Old Testament, there's approximately 300 times that Jesus has been predicted of what is going to happen in the New Testament. They say approximately 300 times. Now, I did a little bit of research on it, and I found something very interesting that I would like to share with you this afternoon. If we were going to take 8 prophecies out of the Old Testament, which were going to become true in Jesus, which means where he was going to be born, his blood lineage, how he was going to die, and so on, that it was going to happen in one person, those 8 prophecies in the Old Testament, that it was going to happen in the New Testament, the chance is 1 to the power of 17, or 10 to the power of 17. That's the chance what it is. It's basically impossible. For those who do not math and who do not know about figures, the guy helped it a little bit and he said, okay, if you take Texas, now Texas is roughly showing what part it is here in Europe. And if you take Texas and you were going to put silver dollars on the ground, on that area of Texas, it's approximately 30 centimeters of dollars all over that area. And you take 1 of those dollars and you make a cross on it. And you put it between the other so many dollars and you turn it a little bit around. And then you get a guy and you blindfold him and you tell him, go and pick that 1 coin. What's the chance? It's showing again that God is unique. God is so in detail the Old and the New Testament, to link together. And God has got a plan. He's got a plan for us. He's got a plan with this people, with the Israelites. And he wants to spend time with us. But we've got a little bit of a problem in that we're not always putting God first in our lives. And I'm myself also guilty with it. That it is happening sometimes, that it is not about me. Often it is not about me, about God, but then it's more about me. That I'm moving more to that chair where I know I'm supposed to sit over here. It's happening in my life as well. And when I'm doing that, I know that I'm limiting God. I'm restricting God. I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. If I'm busy with my own stuff, where I'm supposed to be with God's stuff, where I'm busy with my own plans and I've got my plan first, and God has got to bless my plan instead of going to the Lord and say, Lord, what is your plan? I want to do your plan and only your plan, and then receive the blessing on that. In Psalms, we can read about it. In Psalm 78, verses 41. It says over there, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's referring then to the Israelites. The Israelites were in the desert, and each and every time they were complaining. They didn't have to work anymore. They only had to walk. They were going from one place to the other place. They had food. They even got at certain time meat as well. They had enough water, but they continuously were complaining. They were continuously complaining. They were continuously complaining. And by complaining, they're limiting God. They're restricting God. Are we limiting God? Are we restricting God? Are we restricting the Holy Spirit? And how are we limiting? What is happening in our lives that we are limiting God, that we are limiting the Holy Spirit, that we are quenching the Holy Spirit, that we're not receiving the blessing what God wants to give to us? And I've got a few of them which I would like to go through. It's not to say that this is the Alpha and the Omega, this is actually the correct one, but it's just helping you to think a little bit of what is happening. What are we doing in our lives where we are limiting the Holy Spirit, where we are limiting God? God is not blessing us. And the first one is that we are limiting God by our disobedience. Psalm 78, verses 10. And the verses what I'm quoting now is all coming all out of Psalm 78. They do not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law. So they were not listening to God. They were not listening to God's plan. They were having His own plan. And it's a disobedience. And if we are disobedient to God, and we cannot expect that God is going to bless us, that God is going to give us, and that He is going to give all the things what we're actually looking for. Unconditionally, we've got to do when God is telling us something to do, that we've got to do what He is telling us to do. We shouldn't put a question mark behind it and say, okay, Lord, what is it? This one, it's not acceptable to me, or that is not acceptable to me. And what do we have to do when we find out that we are limiting God by disobedience? We've got to repent. And repent is not easy for us. If we take a look at John the Baptist and if we take a look at Jesus, the first things they said, repent, the kingdom of God is coming. Repent, the kingdom of God is coming. So that's the first thing. We've got to repent. We've got to repent of what we're doing. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior as well, then we are repenting of all the sins what we've been doing. And you say, that's going to be wiped out by the blood of Jesus. So disobedience is limiting God, is limiting God's blessings in our lives. The next one is that we limit God, but that we forget. The first one, the repenting, this one as well, forgetting, it's happening in my life as well. It's so easy that I forget what God already has done in my life. And it's so easy that you carry on and you carry on. But you're not really standing still and say, good Lord, what have you already done in my life? What miracles can I already add up? But I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Psalm 78 says over there, and forget his works and his wonders that he has shown them. It's talking about the Israelites again in the desert. marvelous things he did inside of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. And in daytime also he led them with the cloud, and at night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink in abundance like the depth. He also brought streams out of the rocks, and he caused waters to run down like rivers. But, that word, but they sinned. But the Israelites sinned. But we carry on sinning. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. They were not thankful of what God has already been doing to them. And God's done a lot of things for us. If I'm asking you for testimonies of what God has already been doing, and if we spend half an hour or an hour with you, then steadily it's coming up. And you say, okay, there I can see, there I can see, there I can see. But it's so easy that we forget it. It's so easy that we file it and we don't think about it. And sometimes we even prayed for things. That we prayed for something. You maybe prayed for a husband or for a wife. And then you've got the husband and your wife. And how many times do you say thank you for that? Thank you. But that's limiting. Because if we do not give honor to God for what he has already done in our lives, then we're not really talking about what God should be, that it is about him. And then we're limiting. Then we're limiting that blessing, what God wants to give into our lives. We're also limiting God by our doubt and our unbelief. Psalm 78, verses 32. In spite of this, they still sinned, and they did not believe in his wondrous works. Not only the Israelites. We know about Thomas. Thomas as well. He wanted to see holes in the hands before he was going to believe that that was Jesus. And one verse which for me is still mind-boggling, Matthew 28, when Jesus was with the 11 disciples and they praised him, and then it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Of those 11 who've been 3 years with Jesus, who've seen all the miracles, who've seen that Jesus has been crucified, who've seen a resurrected Jesus, they still doubt. There was still doubt with those of those 11. Who it was and how many it was, it doesn't say, but it's of those 11 we're still doubting. Our lives as well, we're also doubting. We're also asking God something, but we basically put a question mark behind it. Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? Can God do something like that or can he not do something like that? And that doubt and that unbelief is also limiting God's blessings in our lives. And also the blessings which can flow through our lives. The next one is we limit God by our insincerity. Now, insincerity is a very difficult word, so I already had to look it up and see what it actually means. And insincerity means an inconsistency in our lives and a testimony before the world. So there's an inconsistency. So we're not always what we're saying and what we're doing is not always the same. So over here, it's very easy for us to sing and say, we're going to give everything to God. I'll hand over everything to you. I'm prepared to die. We can sing all those type of things. But when we are outside, how many times are we actually prepared to repeat that again in front of somebody else and say how important God is for us, that I'm prepared to give everything to him? So it is happening that we are limiting God by our insincerity. Psalm 78 36 and 37 says, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongues. They flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongues. How close is those two together? So they're basically speaking curses and they're blessing with the same mouth, with the same tongue, is what James is also writing. For their hearts were not steadfast with them, for they were not faithful in their covenant. There was not a heart-to-heart connection with God. It was just a matter of they were saying certain things, but what they were doing was inconsistent. It wasn't always there. And inconsistency in our lives as well is also limiting God limiting the blessing of God in our lives, but also through our lives to other people. And I could carry on with it. There are more things where we are limiting God and where we're limiting the blessings which God wants to give to us in our life, but also blessings which can flow through us to other people. I read a vision of somebody, and I want to just repeat it again, that vision. It's not to say it's my vision, but I think the vision is helping us a little bit of where are we and where do we have to change to? Because we're continuously changing. I myself as well, I'm continuously trying to change and do God's will. I'll never be perfect, fortunately not. So I can continuously carry on. It's not that I'm at a certain stage that I can say, okay, I've reached it now, I'm 99.9% perfect, and I don't have to do anything now. I can continuously go and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is there what I've got to change? What is it what I still have got to change in my life to be more in line with you, to have that heart-to-heart connections, what he is looking for? And I'm going to read it as what a guy wrote it down, and it maybe helps you a little bit, like I said, to understand that we've got to change. The Lord showed that person a hen house from the top. A hen house is a small house where you've got chickens in, but then there was no roof on it. And in that house were chickens. There were brown ones and red ones, or brown ones and white ones, and they were over there to be fattened so that they were going to be slaughtered afterwards. And it was quite busy in that hen house. And now and then you would hear one of those hens making a lot of noise, an egg has been laid, and all the chickens would go there and have a look and say, okay, who was it who laid the eggs over there? But that was not actually the purpose of the chickens in that hen house, because the purpose was there to be fattened and to be slaughtered. And the chickens were also very busy with themselves. They were scratching the ground and scratching their feathers, and they were very busy inside that hen house. And then the Lord told that person to look up. And when the person looked up, he saw the eagle. The eagle was floating in the air over there, using the, you call it the thermic of the air and floating around. And then the Lord said that hen house is the same as what the church is. The church is where people are busy with themselves. And everyone is focused on the meat, because those chickens over there were there for a flesh purpose. They were going to be fattened and they were going to be slaughtered. So the church is busy with the fleshly part, with the meat part. And it's all about how they look like, because they were continuously trying to improve themselves as well, the chickens. But not a lot of things were actually happening over there. And if we compare those two, if we compare then the chicken and we compare the eagle, then there are a lot of things which are the same. Two legs, a head and a tail, a wing, and most probably eyes and all those type of things. So there are a lot of things which are exactly the same. But there's one thing which is very, very different between a hen and an eagle. A chicken is all about meat. It's all about flesh. And the eagle is just wings. It's just wings. That is what an eagle is. And the wings are reflecting the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference what it is. And sometimes it is that we in the church are doing things which looks very good. And then all of us are checking in to see what is going on. And we give a lot of honor to the person who has done it. But we never give honor to God. We give honor then to the person. But what the eagle is doing, he's floating around on the wind. He's floating around on the Holy Spirit to become close to God, as close as possible. What I'm trying to do this afternoon is not a message of condemnation, but it's actually a message of celebration, that we serve an awesome, awesome God who wants to bless us, who wants all of us to be like eagles, just wings. Just on the Holy Spirit, that we flow, and that we can go to places where God wants to go, that we can, what we've been singing just now, Holy Spirit, come, flood this place, that the Holy Spirit is going to take over. And this is what I pray as well, that we're going to experience that, that we're going to have that freedom like an eagle, that we can be float around and that we can come close to God, that we don't have that distance, that like the chicken, that we all close together and doing things what we're actually supposed not to do. The chickens were supposed to be fattened, to be slaughtered. But they make a lot of noise when an egg has been laid. So they're actually busy with the wrong thing. And what a prophecy is, what a vision over there is, I can somewhat understand it. It's, we as church, but even in my own life, we've continuously got to have a look and see, okay, are we doing what God wants us to do? Because if we're doing what God wants us to do, then He's going to bless us. Then that limitation which is there is going to be taken away. And then we can experience the presence of God. And then we can experience the blessings which we can receive in our lives, which can also flow through us, that we can be a blessing for other people again. So yes, it is not this afternoon that I'm going to ask you, do you want to work according to your own plan and you want to sit in that type of chair? Or do you want to work according to God's plan and you want to sit in that chair? By purpose, I didn't put any chair in between so that you cannot say 50-50. No. With God, it is all everything or nothing. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I felt that the Lord was telling us that we've got to do something this afternoon, which is going to be, for quite a few of you, it's going to be inconvenient. But I can tell you out of experience, if I was instructed to do something inconvenient, I got the most growth. That was for me the best type of things, what I had to do. So I'm going to explain what I felt that the Holy Spirit is telling us, what we've got to do now this afternoon. And I'm going to ask you to really to take it serious and that we can benefit from it and that we can let the Holy Spirit flow through us, that we can receive the blessings. I'm going to ask you that you're going to sit to a person, next to a person who you do not know or do not know that well. I think we are roughly anything around 2/3 of the Shofar Church over here, and some of them are visitors over here. And please, if you're a visitor over here, or if you do not come often, grab one of those Shofar ones. They're a little bit more easier with this type of strange things what we're going to do. But I'm going to ask you to sit two with each other, one, and pray together. But I'm going to ask you to do four things. First one is repent. And if there's nothing what you've got to repent, then you haven't got anything to repent. But I think all of us will have something to repent. Repent that we are limiting God, because we do not want to limit God. We want to let the blessing flow over us and through us. The next one is that we're going to thank God for what He's done in our lives. You don't have to have a long testimony. Just mention one thing to that other person, what God has done in your life. And even if it is that you say, it happened that God opened up my eyes, that I could see Him who He was, that I could accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that was the best gift I ever got in my life. It's fine. It doesn't have to be very complicated. The next one is that I'm going to ask you to claim, to proclaim, and to declare God's kingdom. It could be in your family, it could be at your work, it could be at your street, it could be even in your town. We had the people from London last week with us, and what we did on Saturday morning, we've been praying 4 hours, 4 hours approximately, and we've been repenting. We've been repenting of things what is happening wrong in the Netherlands and in the United Kingdom. And then afterwards, we went to the middle of, to the center of Utrecht, and there we declared, we proclaimed, and we claimed, and we spoke God's kingdom over there. And it's not that we're going to pray that my brother is going to be saved. We declare it, we claim it, and we proclaim it. We said, thank you, Father, and I claim it that my brother is going to be saved, that my neighbor is going to be saved, that the whole street is going to be saved, and that the whole town can be saved. God, if we take a look at the miracles what God has been doing, when I was just talking about the 2.4 million what He took out of Egypt, why can't He change a town like Utrecht with 360,000 people? He can. But we've got to speak it in. We've got to claim it. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to declare it. least we will leave it on the screen. So if you're battling, then you can go back again to that. And then the last one is speak a blessing. Speak a blessing over that other person. It's not happening that we're doing it quite often, but it's something which the Lord has given to us, what we can do. Renee asked me 2 weeks, 3 weeks back. She said, can you please bless me again each and every day? And I said, yes, I can do it. And I said, sorry that I actually stopped with it. For a certain time in our lives, where I was leaving in the morning, she was still asleep, I would bless her. And I would speak a blessing over her that she was going to be a blessing for somebody else. And then where we are now here in the Netherlands, and where we're spending nearly the whole day in the same house, it didn't happen that much. But I said, I'll do it. So if you're married, speak a blessing over your husband or over your wife. Because as we as male people, we are the head of the house. We are the king, the priest, the prophet. And we can speak those blessings out. As I left my bedroom as well, and I walked through to the kitchen in the morning, I would bless the rooms as well where the kids were sleeping. I would say, be a blessing, be a blessing, be a blessing, the three sons. And we can do that. And if it is that, if you say, okay, but I don't have any partner who I can bless, and bless somebody at work, speak a blessing over that person. And if you do not speak to that person, then just do it inside or do it beforehand, before you see the person. It starts speaking a blessing over somebody else. Because then you're releasing those blessings. Because what is happening, if you want speaking a blessing over that person, you're going to become passionate over that person. You want to spend time with that person. You want to tell that person about Christ. And you're opening up the way that somewhere you're going to have a possibility that you can speak into that person's life. So again, I'm not going to have an altar call. If you need any prayer, then please come forward. Then I can, or Renee can pray along with you. But I'm going to ask you now, which is maybe for a church service a little bit strange, but it doesn't matter. We always learn from those type of things. And then we have got to come out of our comfort zone when it is happening. Just go to a person who you do not know. And just go and sit. And go through these points. That we open up the limitation, and that God is going to bless us, and that the blessing can flow through us, and that we can connect up with God of what God is really going to be and what God wants to be, and that our lives are going to be more about Him and less about us. Repent of limiting God and thanks God for what He's done in your life, and then claim, proclaim, and declare. And then speak a blessing over the other person. In the meantime, there are going to be a few songs that we're going to sing. Yeah. When we're finished, we may be still going to sing those songs. If you want to go next door and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, you're totally free. But I want to speak a blessing over you, over each and every one of you, that you are going to be a blessing in this week to come for somebody else, that the Lord is going to give you an opportunity, that God's blessing can flow through you. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.